Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? Hopefully you are fine. I'm Asmawati Rahman, will accompany you in the next 60 minutes. We would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Well, listener, we begin the program with the news. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hints at immediate Golkar leadership succession. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya congratulates Ombilin on its designation as World Heritage Site. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is probably looking for a succession of leadership in coalition parties, including Golkar, before the inauguration of the President and Vice President in October 2019. It was explained by Chairman of Golkar Party's Central Executive Board, Andi Sinulinga, on Monday, July 8, as quoted by Antara News Agency. He said whether or not Golkar should follow the President's cues is based on the party's internal needs. Golkar remained a supporter of the government, and its internal affairs were a matter of the party cadres. Andi Sinulinga also said there had been pressure from some of the cadre and also administrators of the Golkar Regional Representatives Council to immediately hold a national conference this September. There is a push for the implementation of the Golkar National Conference before the cabinet is decided. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a plenary cabinet session on Monday afternoon at the Bogor Presidential Palace, Bogor, West Java. The plenary cabinet meeting highlighted national economic conditions. In his direction, President Joko Widodo concerned to several things, among others related to export and import activities. In the plenary cabinet session, the President asked his staffs to pay attention to the export and import activities recorded at the Central Statistic Agency, BPS.
Kita perlu melihat betul angka-angka yang...
We need to look at the numbers that have been obtained by the Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, related to exports and imports. Exports from January to May 2019 year-on-year fell by 8.6. January-May imports also fell 9.2, means that our trade balance in January to May was a deficit of $2.14 billion. Be careful on this condition. Try to examine why is the import so high, especially for oil and gas. Be careful. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, because the rate is the most in that sectors. In addition to evaluating the performance of the working cabinet regarding export and import activities, President Joko Widodo reminded his staff to take maximum opportunities amid conditions of the trade war between the United States and the People's Republic of China. According to the President, the government must be able to provide encouragement to the domestic industry to enter the United States market, which is giving high tariffs for the Chinese products. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yakudu called for close cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region to counter terrorism, the common enemy of countries in Southeast Asia and some parts of Asia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Ria Mizar Yakudu at the opening of the Indonesia International Defense Science Seminar 2019 in Jakarta on Monday, invited all participants to come together to overcome this threat and build regional cooperation in order to form a strong global civilization. The minister pointed to similarities in the characteristics of terrorism in the Indo-Pacific region originating from domestic conflicts in Syria that later developed into ISIS. The terror threat then extending to ASEAN countries and several Asian nations is posed by various militant organizations such as the Daulah Islamiyah, and the terrorism is undeniably disturbing the security dynamics of the affected countries. Hence, cooperation to create a sense of security in the Indo-Pacific region has become a necessity that can no longer be postponed. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya extended his congratulations on Ombilin in Sawalunto, West Sumatra Province, being inscribed on the list of UNESCO's World Heritage Sites. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Yahya in a statement on Tuesday said that expressed his congratulations, Ombilin in Sawalunto has been designated as the World Cultural Heritage Site by UNESCO. The minister believes that Ombilin's inclusion in the UNESCO's World Heritage List will make it easier to project and promote it as a tourist destination. He said the status holds significance as it will be easier to attract investors and tourists to visit. Tourism development in Ombilin should apply the concept of 3A, namely attraction, access, and amenity, as well as meet the global standard, the minister noted. Indonesia has applauded the World Heritage Committee's decision to inscribe former coal mine site Ombilin on the World Heritage List during the committee's 43rd session in Baku, Azerbaijan, on June the 30th to July the 10th, 2019. The Indonesian people are lucky to have five basic principles or Pancasila as an ideology of the nation, which is able to unite and protect from disunity. It was said by Deputy Chairman of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Hidayat Nur Wahid, during four-pillar socialization in Bogor, West Java on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Hidayat Nur Wahid said that ideology of the nation cannot be underestimated. Pancasila is present as an adhesive, becomes an ideology which is well accepted by all Indonesian people. Therefore, the Indonesian people must be grateful for the presence of Pancasila by really understanding and implementing it. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi stated that Indonesia has an important role in determining the direction of policy in the field of maritime, especially in shipping lines and safety. It was said by Minister Budi Karya Sumadi after raising the nomination of Indonesia as a member of the International Maritime Organization IMO in Jakarta on Monday evening. He also said that Indonesia's location is flanked by very important routes to the world trade, namely the Malacca Strait, Sunda Strait, and Lombok Strait. Therefore, Indonesia becomes major key in the world trade and shipping route. Moreover, more than 80% of the world trade are transported by ship. Therefore, it is important for Indonesia to enter IMO membership of C category for 2020-2021 period. And the last item, Indonesia has an opportunity to export avocados to Japan after Japanese importer Great Giant Foods, or GGF, met with the agriculture attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo for the import of the Indonesian fresh fruit. Agriculture attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, Sri Nuryanti, noted in a press release received by Antara News Agency on Monday, said that avocado is a new request and the government will convey it to the Director General of Horticulture to follow up on it. Nuryanti noted that despite matters still being in the process, the demand presents a huge opportunity, taking into account that Japan is currently also interested in importing various fruits from Indonesia. He is upbeat about the export licensing process for avocados being simplified, as Japan does not produce it, so it doesn't turn out to be a sensitive matter of protection of domestic farmers. Furthermore, Japan has so far been known as a country with quite complicated export conditions. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hints at immediate Golkar leadership succession. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya congratulates Ombilin on its designation as World Heritage Site. And listener, that's the news.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Services at Tanjung Priok Port Operate Daily for 1 Week. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi ensures that services at Tanjung Priok Port in North Jakarta will be implemented for 24 hours a week. This is aimed at increasing the number of exports through the port. He also said that his side has been working hard to increase Indonesian exports. However, he acknowledged that there are some obstacles that must be addressed. One of which is to increase the operational time of services at Tanjung Priok Port. This was affirmed by Minister Budi Karya Sumadi after holding a meeting with stakeholders of the Tanjung Priok Port in Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta on Sunday. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi took an illustration with a service time of 3 days. If exporters want to send 14 containers of goods in one day, there are 5 container trucks operating. But if the service time is 7 days, in one day, only 2 container trucks are needed. As a result, this will make the route from and to the port not too dense so that the positive effect can reduce traffic congestion. Furthermore, the matter that Minister Budi feels concerned is about the empty containers in the import of goods. He feared that many container trucks, after loading the import goods, operate without cargo. Therefore, this will be further coordinated so that the trucks do not operate at empty condition. Another point that was highlighted by Minister Budi Karya is about the system. There needs to be one system that can entirely administrate. He promised to improve the coordination with customs, Pelindo, Shah Bandar, and even the banks serving in the port could operate for 7 days. The effort of the transportation ministry is one of the various ones that must be carried out immediately, considering the current condition of the trade balance is concerned. This was revealed in a plenary cabinet meeting at Bogor Palace in West Java on Monday. Based on data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, export from January to May 2019 year-on-year fell 8.6%. Indonesian trade balance in January-May experienced a deficit of $2.14 billion. This condition certainly requires serious attention from all relevant ministries and institutions. Minister Budi Karya has put forward some ideas to improve the performance of port import-export. The relevant minister also need to put forward brilliant ideas to increase export and maintain import substitution goods. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history begins with July the 9th, 2002. The African Union is established. The African Union consists of 54 African countries. The only African country that does not join the African Union is Morocco. Founded on July the 9th, 2002, the African Union was formed as the successor to the African Union Organization. The most important decision of the African Union is made by the African Union Assembly at the meeting of heads of state and government of its member countries. Turning to July the 9th, 2011, independence of South Sudan. South Sudan is located in East Africa. The country was originally part of the Republic of Sudan since its independence in 1956. After the First Sudanese Civil War, the Southern Sudan Autonomous Region was formed in 1972 and lasted until 1983. Then, the Second Sudanese Civil War ended with the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement. Subsequently in that, the Southern Sudan Autonomy Government was formed. South Sudan became an independent state on July the 9th, 2011, at midnight local time after a referendum held in January 2011 resulted in around 99% of voters choosing to secede from Sudan. I'll conclude today in history with July the 9th, 2014, Indonesian presidential election. On July the 9th, 2014, the election of the President and Vice President of Indonesia was carried out for the 2014 to 2019 term. This election became the third direct presidential election in Indonesia. The incumbent President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was unable to advance in this election because of the law which banned the third period for a president. According to the 2008 election law, only parties that control more than 20% of seats in the House of Representatives or win 25% of popular votes can submit their candidate. This election was finally won by the pair Joko Widodo-Yusuf Kalla, defeating the pair Prabowo-Subianto-Hatta Rajasa. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Di sini ku gagal.
Cendrawa Segitiga sung by Coklat. You are still with Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia Strengthens Cooperation of ASEAN and South Korea. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation at Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Yose Tafres, as well as Chairman of the Indonesian Delegation at the 23rd meeting of ASEAN Republic of Korea, held in Bandar Sri Bengawan, Brunei Darussalam, said that garbage at sea, especially plastic waste, is a major threat to biodiversity and marine environment and tourism and the fishing industry. Therefore, Indonesia called for ASEAN and South Korea to cooperate to overcome the problem of plastic waste at sea. As quoted from page kemlu.go.id, Indonesia led a discussion session on maritime cooperation, fisheries, and marine conservation. Previously, at the 13th East Asia Summit in Singapore, November 15, 2018, East Asia Summit state leaders adopted East Asian Leader Statement on Regional Plan of Action on Combating Marine Plastic Debris. At the 34th ASEAN Summit, ASEAN leaders also adopted the Bangkok Declaration on Combating Marine Debris. In addition to maritime cooperation and marine conservation, the 23rd meeting of ASEAN-Korea Dialogue also discussed the ASEAN Cultural House, ACH, which was established in Busan, South Korea, and officially opened in 2017 to introduce and promote ASEAN to the South Korean people through culture. Indonesia is optimistic that ACH has the potential to contribute to increasing South Korean and ASEAN's close relations. Indonesia encourages ACH to be able to take advantage of organizing the 30th ASEAN-Korea Partnership Cooperation Summit to be held in Busan in a bid to further promote ASEAN to South Korean people. Yose Tapares believes that Busan and its people have the capacity, creativity, and enthusiasm to hold an impressive ASEAN-Korean Partnership Memorial Summit. The 30th anniversary of the ASEAN-Korean Partnership Cooperation commemoration will be held in November 2019. The selection of Busan as the location is the second time after being the first host of the 2014 ASEAN-Korean Partnership Commemoration Summit in 2014. ASEAN-Korea cooperation has been going on well for almost 30 years, since 1989. The ASEAN-Korean partnership is further strengthened by increasing the level of partnership cooperation from comprehensive to strategic partnership in 2010. Furthermore, to increase cooperation more concretely, the ASEAN-Korea 17th Summit in Kuala Lumpur on November 22, 2015 had ratified the ASEAN, as you say, the ASEAN Republic of Korea, plan of action to implement the Joint Declaration of Strategy Partnership for Peace and Prosperity for the period 2016-2020. The ASEAN Republic of Korea Dialogue Meeting is an annual ASEAN-Korean meeting at the level of high officials. The 23rd meeting was chaired by jointly Chairman of the SOM ASEAN Brunei Darussalam, His Excellency Emalind Abdul Rahmat Teo, and Chairman of the SOM, His Excellency Yong Sung Gu. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sejuta puisi meyakinkanmu membalas cintaku. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam kesedihan sepanjang waktu. Haruskah ku
That was the song entitled Haruskah Kumati, sung by Ada Band. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, then we would like to present the next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we are going to let you know Kawah Putih Tinggi Raja in North Sumatra. Stay tuned. There are many tourism destinations in North Sumatra besides Lake Toba, which are interesting to be visited. One of them is Dolok Tinggi Raja Natural Conservation. The 167 hectares wide conservation is located at Dolok Merawa Village, Silau Kahyan District, Simalungun Regency, North Sumatra Province. Of the total area, 4 hectares of the site becomes the main location of Sulphur Hot Spring. The hot spring is surrounded by limestone sediment,
which is 450 meters above sea level. The hot spring, which is called Kawah Putih Tinggi Raja or Tinggi Raja White Crater, becomes one of tourist attractions of Dolok Tinggi Raja Conservation, besides Bah Balaklak River and its waterfall, as well as Laparan Lake. The temperature of hot spring reaches around 90 Celsius degree. The hot water flows among the limestones so that it makes the stones become pure white like snow. Most people mention it as hot snow. There are two places which can be visited at the Kawah Putih Tinggi tourism object. Firstly is Limestone Hill, which is passed by the hot water flow, which makes the limestone hill beautiful and eye-catching. On the top of the limestone hill, there is a small natural pool that emits hot springs. The hot springs look like bubbles from the bottom of the pool. Tourists are prohibited to take a bath at the area. In the area, there is also hot water flow, which comes from bushes, then forms a very beautiful Turkish Lake. Another place which can be visited during you come to Putih Tinggi Raja Crater is a water object under the cliff. You can soak in the water. There is also river flow and waterfall, which flows from the hill, which makes the place as a destination place for soaking of the visitors after enjoying the beauty of the hot spring. The hot spring is believed containing sulfur, which is good for skin health if it is used for taking a bath. We suggest you to bring your own foods and beverages if you go there, because there is no food stall at the conservation site. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Untuk sudah.
That's the song entitled Sendiri or Alone, sung by Alika. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, now we are going to moving on to another segment, namely the program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we will introduce you some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions. This program is a cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. It introduces Indonesian vocabulary, phrases, and idioms and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is ukuran kemeja, or in English it means the shirt size. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on ukuran kemeja or the shirt size. Tony is in a shopping center with Endah. She was choosing a batik shirt for him.
Cari kemeja untuk siapa?
Untuk saya dong.
Ini cukup?
Sepertinya kebesaran. Ada ukuran L.
Saya cari dulu ya.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is ukuran kemeja, or in English, the shirt size. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Cari kemeja untuk siapa? Cari kemeja untuk siapa? Which means, who is this shirt for? Untuk saya. Untuk saya. Which means, for me. Ini cukup. Ini cukup, which means this one fits. Besar, besar, which means large. Kebesaran, kebesaran, which means too big. Terlalu besar, which means too big. Sepertinya kebesaran, which means it seems too big. Ada ukuran L, which means is there an L size? Saya cari dulu ya, which means I look for it first, okay? Blouse, blouse, which means blouse. Kaos, kaos, which means t-shirt. Celana panjang, which means long pants or trousers. Nomor berapa, which means what number? 30, 30, which means 30. When shopping for clothes, you will mention the size. In the dialogue, Tony asks the salesperson for an L-sized shirt. Ada ukuran L? Ada ukuran L? Which means, is there an L size? Another example. Tolong belikan blouse. Tolong belikan blouse, which means, please buy me a blouse. Apa ukurannya? Apa ukurannya? Which means, what's the size? M. M, which means M. For pants, numbers are usually used. Example, ada celana panjang? Ada celana panjang, which means, are there any trousers? Nomor berapa? Nomor berapa, which means, what number? 30. 30, which means 30. In the dialogue, you heard Tony says, sepertinya kebesaran. Sepertinya kebesaran, which means, it seems too big. Kebesaran means too big. Likewise with kekecilan, which means too small. The word kekecilan means the same as terlalu kecil. The prefix ke followed by suffix an means terlalu or too or excessive. Example, kausnya cukup, which means the shirt fits. Kausnya kekecilan, which means the shirt is too small. The words kebesaran and kekecilan are only used in a conversation, not in formal language. The formal use are terlalu besar, which means too large, or terlalu kecil, which means too small. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the example conversation once more.
Cari kemeja untuk siapa?
Untuk saya dong.
Ini cukup?
Sepertinya kebesaran. Ada ukuran L.
Saya cari dulu ya.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it would be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
That was the song entitled Walau Habis Terang, sung by Peter Pan. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, next we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Pura Pura by Betaria Sonata. The song, which was composed by Hussein Bawavi, tells about someone's disappointed on their lover's pretense. The song consists of some verses of rhyme. Its lyrics are often repeated. Although the song tells about disappointment, the music of the song is upbeat and enjoyable to sing and dance. The song Pura Pura included in the album entitled Dendang Kenangan Terpopuler Melayu Daily, or the most popular of daily Malay memory song. Born in Bandung on December 14, 1962, Betaria Sonata was popular with her song Hati Yang Luka, which was hit in the 1990s. Not only pop songs, Betaria also dedicated Malayan and regional songs. Here is the song Pura Pura by Betaria Sonata. Enjoy the song.
Mengerti
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your listening. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Don't forget to give your like and comment at the Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and email voi@voinews.id.